This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They've asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. We would like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for bringing us that sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts based right here in Chicago. Find out more at chicagopodcastcoop.com.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend, Pat O'Rourke, introduces me, Patrick Winiger, to Star Trek, The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, I feel like I took you prisoner to watch this episode with
me. Felt like I was taken prisoner to watch this episode.
Do you feel like a veteran of war now? Whose brain has been forever altered?
I feel like my brain was altered in some way by watching this episode. We're talking about The Hunted.
The Hunted. Speaking of altered brains, my friend Aram is with us today.
That's fair. That's intensely fair.
Yeah. Now, you probably know Aram's voice from the legendary podcast, God's Fall. And from the almost legendary podcast, The Dungeon Rat.
It's getting there.
It's getting there.
Yeah,
it's getting there. Yeah, it's a little like, baby
it's
legend.
Like, it's like half legendary.
Yeah. Welcome, man.
Thank you.
So something we love to ask everybody during their very first time on the show.
Well, Pat loves to ask.
I do love to ask. Okay, fine. Fair enough.
I have no frame of reference.
Aram, how big of a Star Trek fan are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I would say, okay, if 10 is arguing about specific episodes and like the combination to the safe that Picard used to get into this, and was it 7214, not 7244? If that's a 10, then I'd put myself at like a 7 or 8.
Yeah, but you know the combinations that people argue about?
Right, so maybe that pushes me towards an 8. Yeah
that's probably like an 8 at least.
I mean, my dad was a fan of the original show. I'm old. So I was raised, you know, at a time when the show first came out and was old enough to understand what it was, right? And I would watch it with him. So it was a bonding moment between my dad and I, as much as it was, because he was looking at the older show and I was watching it. Really, this was my Star Trek, this one I had when I was young. So there was a very heavy moment there. Plus, he had shown me my first Star Wars. And, you know, my dad was as into sci-fi as I was. So that was a real nice moment. So I would say I'm a pretty big fan.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Have we talked about this?
I don't
think
so.
Dad introduced me to Star Trek as well.
Really?
Yeah. The reason I watch it now, or I think have such affinity for it, is because it was the only show we were allowed to watch during dinner.
Oh.
So we were a family that was like family time during dinner. But for my father, when Star Trek was on, we were watching it.
It was the only show we were allowed to watch that had weapons in it.
Really?
So, yeah. For instance, I couldn't watch G.I. Joe as a kid, and all my friends watched G.I. Joe. And I asked my dad, why can I watch this? And my dad was one of those people who would explain things, right?
Yeah.
Like if his kid, like I'm 8, and his kid, he's like, okay. So we sat down, we watched an episode of G.I. Joe, and like within 10 minutes, a missile came down and shot a tank. It was like a G.I. Joe plane shooting a Cobra tank, and all the Cobra guys jump out, and the tank explodes. And my dad just stops. He's like, okay, in real war, that missile would have hit that tank. Those men would have been inside, and they all would have burned alive. And I'm 8, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I tell you this now because I don't want you watching this show because it glorifies war. And you need to understand that that's not what happens. And I remember just like, okay, I'll never watch it again. Yeah.
It's not a bad lesson, but still, damn.
But in the future, you can set that missile to stun.
Exactly.
Or maximum stun.
Right.
You're feeling real nasty.
Or just turn it into a grenade.
Right, yeah. Which will talk about a lot later.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So of the Star Treks, which one is your jam? Next Gen?
I think, Next Gen has my heart. Deep Space Nine is the best written. But yeah. Next Gen has my heart. Yeah.
Season 6, Deep Space Nine, in my opinion, best single season of Star Trek.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of Star Trek, I guess that's the show. I do have a fun fact.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
So I had a big complaint about this in the episode. When they called that area that people were walking through, or that the bad guy was walking through, a Jeffries tube.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the only time in all of Star Trek that they showed a walk or a Jeffries tube that someone could walk through.
Oh.
I know from Star Trek Adventures.
Yes.
Because we played that.
We did.
The Jeffries tube, our characters had to crawl through.
Exactly.
And they're right. Very small, right?
Yeah.
They're like submarine tunnels or something.
Exactly.
That's what they're called, too. Well, this would be a Jeffries tunnel.
Yeah. It's like a Jeffries hallway.
Like, yes. How big do you have to be before you're not a tube anymore?
Right.
Well, they call it a Jeffries tube in this episode.
Totally wrong, though.
Yes. And it's the only time in Star Trek where people are standing up in a Jeffries tube.
Yeah, maybe he had something in his contract where he couldn't crawl.
Yeah. It's OSHA, man.
It would have screwed up his hair.
Yeah. Well, I've got a headline. This came out January 8th, 1990. We are into the 90s, as we said last episode. Headline is, visitors to Nixon Library to meet president electronically? Designers of Richard M. Nixon's presidential library in Yorba Linda say that visitors will be able to question the former president and get an answer from his lips through the miracle of video.
Oh, cool.
With the latest in computer wizardry and more than 400 video clips, the questioner will touch a screen and trigger an answer from Nixon's video image. Man, that's just what kids always clamor to do. Mom, Dad, how can I talk to Richard Nixon?
So much energy spent to talk to Richard Nixon.
Yeah. Like, what are these kids going to ask him?
Why are you called Tricky Dick?
Yeah. Why are you dead?
Yeah. Well, he was still alive,
when
this came out.
I remember when he
was,
died.
Wasn't he?
He's only 77 years old by this point. Yeah.
I think he's the first president I remember dying.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was a pretty big deal. And I was like, why is this a big deal?
Yeah, I don't know who this guy was. My dad was like, he was terrible.
Yeah.
Fair. Fair assessment. Well, should we get into the episode?
Yeah, we probably should. So this is The Hunted, as we said at the beginning. And this is one of those where I thought I was going to have some questions about Prime Directive. I just had questions about a whole lot other things, which I don't think y'all would probably know the answers to, because this is a weird episode. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that up top.
No, but it did. It opened up, initially, they were like, okay, there's going to be big topics talked about. And
right.
Then, now there's just basic structure of how you build an episode.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Now we're just going to show a really terribly choreographed fight for 5 minutes.
Mm.
Those fight scenes were rough.
They were bad.
Pretty rough.
They were as bad as Iron Fist and Daredevil. That's how bad they were.
I haven't seen Iron Fist, but I heard a lot of stuff about it.
Well, here's what I'm going to say as to why I think they're bad is because we've already seen the bar set higher.
Yep.
Even in this season of Star Trek.
Yeah.
So it wasn't bad for its era. It was rough for what we're able, or what we've already experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the premise of this is the Enterprise is visiting a planet that wants to join the Federation. And Gosia 3. They've got a prime minister, this guy Narok, who looked familiar, and we kept trying to place him, and it's James Cromwell with a mustache.
Yeah.
Is the farmer from the movie Babe.
Yes.
Is the prime minister of this planet.
Picture the farmer from the movie Babe in every moment that he's on camera, because it makes the episode better.
It does.
That'll do, pig.
That'll do.
He's huge.
Yeah.
He is huge.
He is tall as hell. I had no idea James Cromwell was that big. He's the prime minister, and they're kind of lobbying to join the Federation. And the Federation is sending the Enterprise crew there to check them out and make sure they're all right. And Picard and Riker are down there, and they're like, hey, it seems like you guys have really recovered from this thing called the Tarsian War.
Yeah.
And Narok is like, we've really come a long way. We're really glad that you're coming to visit us. And
Narok makes me think of Beastie Boys. What was his name?
Narok. You're thinking of Ad-Rock.
Ad-Rock.
Who I believe he died recently.
He died.
Yeah.
Much like Richard Nixon.
Yeah. Well, I think Ed Rock was slightly cooler.
Yeah, he died loved, and Richard Nixon died hated and forgotten.
Right.
Yeah.
So Narok is this kind of stuffy prime ministry dude, and there's this one part where Riker says that this place is too stuffy for him, and it's just like, oh yeah, there's no like hot harp lady babes.
Well, there's not enough women in general.
Right.
There were no women.
Think about the government.
It was super weird.
Yeah.
There was not a single woman represented in the entire planet.
Right. And
no.
There was.
Did we see
they're
any
all
women?
Dudes. All of the leaders were dudes.
All the leaders definitely were white-haired
and
dudes.
And they all had like these stuffy turtlenecks. They were all old white dudes.
Yeah, every single one.
Riker's personal hell.
Right. At the end, when they're handing out rifles, it looked like you were handing out rifles to a banker's meeting.
Right.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. So this one dude pulls Narok aside, and he's like, I've got this urgent problem. Something is up. And he comes back, and he says, hey, we need your help. So we have this prison colony, which already is very un-Federation-like.
Yeah, totally. Because there used to be prison colonies on Earth.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's the dark history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, tell us more. And he's like, well, this guy, he escaped. He's got a transport vessel. And for some reason, their civilian pilots are not able to deal with this
situation.
Well,
this is the first crack in this episode.
Yeah.
You're like,
wait, you don't have a force that can deal with
prisoners? You have the military force available to maintain a penal colony.
A floating asteroid.
Yeah, it's on the moon
penal
or some
colony,
shit.
Right?
Yeah, they call it Lunar 5.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's definitely on the moon. So there is a moon space colony, which assuming that you got there somehow.
Right.
Right, yeah.
And they're like, we don't have the ships to deal with this.
And you just fought a war.
Right.
Right.
You just fought a war. And can't keep your prisoners or chase them down?
They didn't fight a war on their own planet. Because that would have been talked about. No, they definitely had ships and sent people.
But they knew how to do this. This
they
guy is just a prisoner.
Yeah. Right.
It's like saying, well, we don't have boats.
Right. Did they just burn them all? Did they just, like, you know?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe they took all the ships and built the colony.
That's what the colony's built out of. Okay, that makes sense. Not really, but it's about to get weirder. So they're like, oh, hey, could you help us out? The Enterprise says, yeah, sure.
But you don't want the Enterprise to help you out with this.
So Data's in
they
charge.
Really didn't.
They
no,
didn't.
No.
Not at all. Data's at the helm of the Enterprise, and they find, you know, oh, this is the ship. We found it pretty easily. We're super high-tech, and this civilization isn't. And then it goes.
We can see it.
Right. It goes behind a rock.
Yeah.
And an asteroid.
It is missing.
Wait, did you notice that space rock didn't turn, didn't move, just sat perfectly still.
It was right there, suspended by a piece of string.
Yep.
And Data was like, oh, I can't see it. Well, shit.
I can't believe how easily Data was fooled.
Well, like, it shut off its sensors and, you know, all this stuff. So
there were no signs of life.
But
Data's defense.
Where the hell did it go? Like, you know where it is.
But there were no signs of warmth. Were there no signs of warmth? Were there no signs of oxygen? Were there no signs? I mean, there may have been no signs of life, technically. But what does that mean? And what was he sensing? Was there no movement? Was there no, I mean, come on.
Yeah. As we find out later, the guy in there is able to shut off his, like, natural electric field.
Right.
So
he's
an
eel.
Can't read him.
Yeah.
he's an eel.
Yeah.
But It went behind a goddamn rock.
Yeah.
You should be able to find it.
Especially in an era where cloaking technology exists.
It was the misdirection of, like, a grade school party magician.
Right.
Right.
That's
exactly.
This is the equivalent of a guy picking up a houseplant and walking behind it in space.
Yes.
And it tricked Data, who's supposed to be the smartest character in the show.
They
well,
pink
not
panthered
smartest.
Their way around yep. Data. Who's the smartest?
Well, I wouldn't say Data is smart. I say he has a lot of
maybe
access.
Dr. Crusher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I would say that. Yeah.
He's not the best at solving problems in the moment, though.
No.
He can access
he can't
a lot
think
of information
outside the box because he is the box.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So it reappears, and they're like, "Oh,
half of it reappears.
Half of it. Yeah, the drive section. So it jettisons like that's how it evades them. Is it like jettisons its jets or whatever?
Yes.
And they're like, oh, well, now we can't pick it up. Pick up the energy signature, and it's still you know where the ship went, but they're deeply embarrassed that they have been bested by this prisoner.
Right, and from a writing perspective, they just needed the scene to get them to the opening credits.
Yeah,
which is really frustrating because they come back from
tell.
The opening credits and they're like, found him.
Right, yeah. It's like, duh, 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 duh. Yeah, no, they just. I mean, he was like in their polar thing or something. And literally the next shot is you can just see him. And they have windows everywhere. I mean, they could have just looked out the right and there he is.
Right. So he was hiding in basically the magnetic field of the North Pole.
Right.
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 Of this asteroid.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Science. He used science
to evade them.
And then very quickly, the crew of the Enterprise used science to find him.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
Like Picard has to come and take over, and Prime Minister Narok is phones in. He's like, yeah, by the way, this guy is extremely violent. In addition to being crafty enough to hide behind a rock. His name is Roga Danar. They're trying to try all this trickery to we're gonna beam this guy in, and then he uses an escape pod to get out. And
yeah,
it's just
very cunning man.
He's a very smart dude, but they should have gotten him with all the tools that they have. Like Aram, you were saying, it's like, don't they have a tractor beam?
Anything.
Nothing. Right. And then they finally use a tractor beam.
Well, they forgot about it for a while.
Right.
Also, my favorite line was when the prime minister's like, his list of crimes is too lengthy to go into right now, so I'm not going to tell you the details, but he's bad.
Yeah.
Like, oh, come on.
It's like, of course we know there's some skeletons in that.
You don't have email? Exactly. Just email this to me?
Well, later they pull it up and they figure it out in about 3 seconds.
It's people like, what was he hiding? All of, apparently they were in entire back history is just available at a digital library for any ship to pull down when they want to.
Yes.
So they're like, they got the escape pod, they got an tractor beam, they beam the dude in to the transporter room, and as he's beaming in, Miles O'Brien is like, oh, he's got a gun. Yeah, we love Miles O'Brien.
I love him. He's the working man.
He's the only practical one on the ship.
Oh, always.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, he's got a gun. Okay, I disabled it.
I'm doing my job. Please, someone send security.
Right, and they send two people. Right. As always, they send two people, and they're both like the top officers. You know, they send Riker and Worf down there. Now, as the camera pans out, we do see they have like two other guys.
Yeah, buffoons.
Right, and they're aiming their phasers as it phases
Freeze!
In.
The director's stopped by his gym on the way there, just pointed at two random people. That's how that happened.
And it's like, we all watching this, we know what security details are like on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And they're always dudes.
Right.
Never a woman. You know what I mean?
Well, Tasha Yar, but then they killed her.
She's in charge.
Yeah.
But it's never like in this whole advanced society where everyone's equal, there's never just a grunt woman there for security. It never happens.
Well, here's the problem with Star Trek The Next Generation is we're living in a utopia, but it's written in the time period it's written in, which is incredibly sexist.
Yeah.
As far as who can play what roles.
Right.
I think that's one of the things I really love about Petrick's log, the history stuff, because it really helps frame what was going on in the world at this time and why. Like, I remember it being a big debate about women serving in the military.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we forget about that now.
Yeah, and that was a big debate in the 90s.
I was in the military when we were debating if there should be women in the military.
Right.
Yeah.
And now it's just of course.
Yeah.
Like, there's plenty of jobs for everybody,
and
you know?
The big debate was pilots. That was the amazing part.
Oh, really?
It was all about pilots. Like, should women be pilots? And I'm like, yeah, I think a woman can operate technology. In fact, I was on submarines, and when they first did the testing, there's all this mental and psychological testing they did to figure out what the best component of a crew would be for a submarine, and all the testing came back all women. Whatever you do, staff it with all women. And what did we do? We did the exact opposite. We staffed with all men.
Well, I would think the only time where a man would have a benefit is carrying heavy things.
And
right,
really
like generally,
only,
broadly
yeah.
speaking,
and very, very broadly speaking, and honestly, how often is that happening in your modern military?
Not that often. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So,
if
like
you're
back
a grunt
in the day,
troop,
yeah,
yeah.
Well,
but
yeah,
now
because
it's like there's so much. It's a lot of like administrative work, a lot of technology,
and that's
a lot
entirely of what the Enterprise is.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's
except
exactly
for security, but that's even carrying a small
plastic
phaser.
Well, okay, are these guys doing a great job?
No,
because as soon as he beams in,
we
see a terrible, 5-minute fight scene where this guy just wrecks everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in a poorly choreographed way. And
And he wrecks everybody by simply pushing them to the ground.
By pushing them.
Right.
Yeah.
And they needed more strength.
Right. And human beings have faced, in this world, over and over again, humanoids stronger than they are.
Right.
They would absolutely have adapted techniques for pressure points and for using people's weight and strength against them. That's how that team would have been trained, and none of that.
No.
Humans should be judo masters.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Moving, Akita would be perfectly sensible.
Because a Romulan or a Klingon, they'd be able to outpower them and with no problem.
Yep.
But instead, they
use their speed and strength against them.
The only guy that like gets a hit on him is O'Brien with a phaser.
Hell yeah!
Because he gets him in the back, but then the guy is not really affected by it and then shoots O'Brien. Worf and Riker come in, and they eventually subdue him, but it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah. O'Brien shooting him basically just alerts the guy that he's there.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's just like tapping him on the shoulder.
So I guess it's because the stun was set to 2 weeks. Is that what they're saying?
Because
later they put it to maximum.
Later they put it to maximum, and it doesn't really do anything. And this is the weirdest out of this scene, is that they put it, they're like, put the phaser to maximum, and they're about to shoot him, and O'Brien just comes in, and he's like, hey. And then that's it.
Yeah, that was a really weird way to end
Very
that scene.
Very odd.
Yeah.
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 Why?
Because they didn't have it out now, right? Because the writing was bad in this show.
At least this episode was not a good one.
And they didn't have a way out. So they just kind of went, bah, 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 bah. And again, as we talked about, they couldn't ad lib on set. So they were stuck with those words, and they just read them out, and then like, bah, 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 the camera pulls out, and that's it.
Yeah. Not a great scene.
And I love O'Brien.
I do too.
Yeah.
And he had a really awkward last line there.
Yep.
Because knowing O'Brien, he would have been like, blast that guy.
Right. Yeah.
Do it. Let's get out of here.
Shoot him
like,
twice.
Why are you letting him live? I'm very pragmatic. And this guy's a big problem. Just
put
shoot
it
him.
On maximum, put it to his temple and shoot the guy.
Yeah, and then
scrambles
throw
brains.
Him in the jail.
Yeah, it's not our problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so the next shot we see Deanna Troi, she's walking down the hallway. And she passes by this guy's cell. He's in the brig. And
she could have been 10 decks up. Her powers are not defined.
Right. It's not really clear because she's able to read people's minds if they're in other ships and stuff. But she's able to sense.
Sometimes.
Yeah, a deep pain. So she goes and talks to this dude. And this guy is dressed in rags. He's filthy the entire episode.
Mm-hmm. Yet they perfectly fit his ass.
Right.
I noticed that.
he's wearing a onesie where, like, his ass is pretty much out the entire time.
Yep.
And, you know, Troi is talking to him and, like, trying to pick his brain, basically. And he's not having it. He's being really standoffish and giving her fake answers. Like, she's like, why don't you like me? And he was like, a woman with dark hair broke my heart. And he's obviously lying.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to answer this question for you.
Right. Which is unfortunate because the whole point of his character would be like there'd be a lot of psychological programming and testing that they could have dove into and talked about. That's why he was, and none of it.
Nope.
He just glossed right over
that. He just says that he's killed a bunch of people. This is what we learned from this. He's
87
killed,
people.
He's, well, yeah,
but we learned that later.
We learned later that he's killed 84. And
84.
That he is willing to kill again and willing to kill her. And the prison that he was on was not like he wasn't tortured or anything. He just couldn't leave. That's all he says about it. So Troi goes and talks to Picard about this. And Picard's in the ready room. He's dealing with his peace treaty. And she's talking to him about this prisoner. Hey, you know, this guy, he's a killer by definition. He's killed people. But I don't think he's violent.
I hate this. What the hell was that?
Yeah.
He's a killer, but he doesn't have, like, doesn't she say, like, the heart of a killer?
Doesn't make any sense at all.
But it's like, the man has killed a bunch. He's told you
he has.
He
killed
three
random innocent people. I mean, just people doing their jobs. Maybe it's a fucked up society, but he killed three innocent people on his way out.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't call a soldier a murderer.
No.
But is a soldier who's killed capable of killing? Yes.
Yes.
Because it's proof. They are.
Right.
So Deanna's whole premise here is like, what do you mean?
Yeah, and Picard is just like, look, our job is just to put him on the shuttle and get him out. I'm thinking that Picard is saying, we're not going to let this planet into the Federation anyway. You know,
well,
it's
not his call. That's the other part about this. Like Picard just gets to decide who enters the Federation.
He apparently does by the end.
Right. He's like, I guess you guys should just call us later. Who the fuck are you? That is not your job.
Guy.
You have
wait,
ship.
Hold on.
You're just some guy with a ship.
He's the captain who was sent there.
Okay.
He was sent there to screen this planet.
No.
His job is to determine, they set this up at the beginning, is to determine whether or not this planet can join
who
the Federation.
Who elected this dude? I what kind of democracy is this?
He wasn't elected. It's Wait. Bureaucracy at its finest.
I didn't catch it.
I didn't elect the guy who runs the army.
I thought he was literally just there as a formality. I didn't catch the part.
No, he's there to check it out.
The guy who runs the army is the president. That's the commander in chief.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't pick that guy.
Well, I didn't personally
Who's the shit?
Joint Chiefs of Staff?
No, the guy, the first general.
The first general. Okay.
The general, that's not his title. The guy under.
I want to be, though.
Yeah, me too.
First the main
general.
Guy.
The main guy. The general. What's
the main
his name?
General. I don't know.
God damn it.
Are you talking about the Secretary of Defense?
Yeah
that guy. What's his name?
Mattis.
Yeah, Mattis. The president. I didn't pick Mattis.
No, I didn't either, but he's appointed by an elected official.
Well, right. So what's Picard?
There is a civilian authority over this whole thing. Like, they're just military people. I mean, they claim
they're not
the
military.
I know.
They're
exploring.
No.
I know.
They're like Christopher Columbus.
No,
Aram, who was military? He
right.
had fucking weapons on that
right.
ship.
Who
he decimated an entire island.
They're the military. They are the military branch of this Federation. That's what they are.
Yep.
That's why they have military rankings. That's why they have military insignia.
That's why
they have
the
military
guns
the Navy
on their ship.
In space.
No, hey, sometimes you got to defend yourself from a space pirate. They're explorers.
No, bullshit. Bullshit.
That's what they claim.
I know, but it's crap. It's complete crap. And the idea that a military captain, right, would just show up and, like, I am in charge of this whole negotiation is such crap to begin with.
Thank you, Aram. Yes. No, this is... He is
100% right.
Didn't
that happen, though, during colonization of...
oh, yeah, that went well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was
well,
a great idea.
Saying, there's precedent in
oh,
history.
Like when we sent Commodore Perry to Japan and almost, like, started a war just because
right.
we wanted
or
to
when we just
fuck
took
around
over
in another
Hawaii
country.
Because we felt like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that went
Listen,
really well.
I don't think it went well in this episode either.
No,
so
it
I had
didn't.
No leg to stand on. I'm just saying it's not a military vessel. They never claim to be a military vessel.
Wait,
they claim to be explorers.
Holy crap. You just can't
yeah, it's
do
not
that.
War. We're just Look bombing at, them.
Just go just go join Trump's campaign. It's not what it is because we say it is. We put a label on it. Like if I just put like a...
Fake news around.
Right. If
Fake
I just,
news.
If I just put Disney Cruise on the side of an aircraft carrier, now it's not... It's not a war vessel.
Well, that's
anymore.
What the Federation has done with the
yes.
Enterprise.
Yes.
I will point out this prisoner says this exact thing to Deanna Troi where she's like, it's not a warship. He's like, okay.
Right, like that, right, he knew.
He was 100% correct.
Yes. I know, that's the writers calling out season one writers.
Yes. You know, you could see it. There's like one smart writer in the room who's like, bullshit. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, they do it a lot.
Yeah.
Especially as the show goes on. A lot of the stuff that was set up by Gene Roddenberry at the beginning... It's got some problems.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about those problems.
Yeah.
And so writers do a better job of working around it or making it a thing or whatever.
The whole point of this season of Star Trek was that it was all the fans who then grew up to be adults,
yep.
who became good writers, who then came in to write
yeah.
the show, but there
Flesh
were the
out.
Hangers-on
right,
of
yeah.
the old crew. Yeah,
yeah. So you kind of get this goofy 60s sci-fi, which is fine. I just think that's a different genre
yes.
of what they're going for in TNG.
Oh, yeah. Well, because yeah. last episode, The Defector, was a beautiful
awesome.
Episode. And it had everything you want out of like a high-thinking sci-fi story.
And who wrote that one?
Ronald D. Moore.
Same guy who wrote Battlestar
Galactica.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, and you can see, like, in the next little bit of this episode where they try to, like, flesh it out there. Because Data digs into all of this guy's history. And they find, it's like, oh, this Dinar guy, he doesn't have a criminal record. But it turns out he is a veteran. And he's highly decorated. And remember they were talking about that thing, the Tarsian Wars, at the beginning. So
yeah.
that's what he was in. And...
So he shot 84 people at a war.
Yeah, that's
right?
what he talks about.
If I'm doing the math here, so he'd never had a criminal record, so he killed 84 people in the war,
yep.
and then 3 people breaking out.
Right.
Right.
So Troi goes and asks him about this, and you know that's what he says. Look, I just did whatever they asked me to do.
Right now, Picard should just leave.
Right.
Right.
Because they don't deserve to be part of the Federation.
None whatsoever.
If this is how they're right. treating.
Also, Picard should not be. I mean, it would literally, again, be like if you pulled an aircraft carrier up to, I don't know, some port, and like the local mayor was like, oh, we have a breakout of our
yeah.
prisoners. Can you send like yeah. your shore guard into like, no, of
can
course
can you do
we
this
can't.
Diplomatic
right. Can you
situation
launch your
for
planes
us?
And help us yeah. take this guy down? No, no, we can't do that.
No, yeah.
And it's a really weird situation because he's saying that like, yeah, I just served as a soldier and they put me in this penal colony and I broke out. And the reason why he doesn't trust Troy is because he was like, the person that conditioned me was also called
so
a counselor.
I thought this was pretty cool.
That part was actually pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. If they had then done anything with that, except
no.
they just left it and walked
nope.
away.
That
yeah.
was just a thread that was left there.
But it made me think about, you know, modern soldiers.
Yeah.
And the conditioning That's, they go through.
Yep.
You know, I come from a military family. We've talked about this
sure.
Even on the show. But there's definitely repercussions to being in the military based on the training you get while there. So they could have done a great job of hitting on this subject. They got lost
they,
along
yeah.
the way.
There's a lot
somehow.
Of other stuff going on.
And that's the, well, which is the problem. If you're going to take on a serious topic like that, which you owe people, the second you bring that up, you owe someone, right? You talk to people. You go to veterans. You
right.
talk to creatives who are used, who have been, who have experienced something like this and have some ideas. And then you incorporate those ideas in the show. You can't just like, oh, here's a topic, introduce it, and then just kind of handhold your way through it. That's
yeah.
an insult. It's yeah. an insult to the soldiers. It's an insult to the concept.
Yeah.
And that's how you end up with a shitty episode.
Like yeah. Well, it's true. Yeah. And you think about, we were talking about Deep Space Nine season 6 earlier. And what's so strong about that season is that it's the Federation at war, but we're not really seeing front lines. We're seeing the impact of war on Federation culture. And it's really good because they handle a lot of these subjects in a really real way. Like, what do you do about terrorists? What do you do about vets? What
do
you do about people?
It?
Yeah, how do you
yep.
handle the stuff? How do you handle what they're doing on the front lines back at home?
Yep.
Right? So that's what a big part of that season is. Spoiler alert, Patrick.
Oh, but, it was also the most brilliant part of Deep Space Nine, the fact that they weren't a ship.
Yes.
The fact that they had to
port.
Deal. Yeah, you had to deal with what was given. You couldn't
yeah.
just fly away.
Fly away, yeah.
You were always stuck with the reality that you have introduced.
Yeah, and this episode, they taste it like they
yeah.
they go mm-hmm. up and they're like just about to get into something real, something awesome, and then they're like, oh wait a minute, let's have them wrestle some more.
Right. And really that's where it all falls apart.
Yeah. And I think that the scene where Troy is talking to him about that and he says, you know, the person that trained me was called a counselor too, that's the closest they come, because
yep.
the next scene is like Crusher's talking to Picard and Data, and Troy's like, yeah, they basically made a super soldier.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason he was able to evade the scanners is because he can alter his electric field. Mm-hmm. He's super strong. He's basically a superhero.
Well, see, and this is another issue I have with this episode, is that's Khan.
Yes.
From
yeah.
original series.
That's
yeah.
absolutely Khan.
They just, he got there in a different way, but they just ripped off Khan.
Yep.
And, you know, come on. You can't rip
right.
off Khan. He's like amazing,
he's,
bad guy.
Or at least do it well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't do it in an episode like this.
If this episode was written by better people, acted by better people, you never had to leave that room. The whole
right?
episode
yep.
could
yeah.
have happened right
yep.
there.
And it yes. would have been cheaper.
Yep.
And better,
but,
because
yeah.
you could have done some real character development.
Yeah, and you would have had 5 minutes of really awkward fighting. But
right.
So Picard goes back to Narok, or calls Narok, and Narok is like, yeah, this guy's a prisoner. You can't trust what he says. And Picard gets a little more information about what the situation is. And it's basically they made a penal colony for these super soldiers that they made because they couldn't deal with them on their home world. And Picard's like, well, I gotta probably talk to the Federation about this because that doesn't sound ideal.
Also, how did they not know?
Right.
How did they not know?
How's that the first thing that you notice?
Yeah.
Hey, right. I see you have a prison colony on your moon.
Right.
What's that about?
I mean, it was really clear above that planet, as we could see. We could see an asteroid very, very
yeah.
clearly. You think you'd see the prison colony
right.
as you drove
to
in.
To be fair, their sensors didn't work very
yeah.
well
okay.
in this
yeah,
episode
we,
at all.
I noticed
only
that.
On that one guy. The
Maybe
prison...
they were under repair. We don't know.
This next scene is where Data goes to talk to Daynar, and Data feels some kind of camaraderie with him because, as he tells Daynar, we both are programmed, but I can turn my programming off.
And it wasn't programmed to kill.
Yes. Yeah.
Has Data ever done that? Has Data, except for one scene I can think of in a movie, has Data ever turned his programming off? Ever?
No.
I have not seen it in the show.
Except for that one movie where he's got the...
Is that First Contact?
Yeah, where he had the emotion chip implanted.
Yes.
And they're walking through a tunnel, and Data's like, oh, I'm feeling fear and anxiety. And Picard's like, maybe you should just turn that emotion chip off. And Data kind of does that neck thing, and you hear a dee-dee-dee. He's like, done, sir. And then Picard sighs because he's such a great actor. He's like... There are times that I wish I could be just like you, Data. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But that is the only time Data's ever turned off any of his programming. So this whole, like, he does rearrange my whole programming.
But he does, like, self-examinations all the time.
Yeah.
And, like,
I check myself for testicular cancer, too. I mean, we all do self-examinations.
I do, too, and I'm not that confident in my skills, honestly. I get really nervous about it. That's a different conversation. But he is doing self-diagnostics and improving himself all the time.
Right. I think that's what that's really a reference to. That really bad panel removed from his head where his hair lays over it. There's, like, you know, boop, 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 boop. It looks like an old episode of DeVry, right? Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, he basically has that conversation with him where he's just like, yeah, you know, I program too. I can change it. And you have this terrifying revelation from Daynar where he's like, I've killed 84 people, and because they enhance my memory, I remember every second of it happening and all of their faces. So that sucks.
Yeah.
And then also, Data says here he's not programmed to kill, but we've seen him kill, haven't we?
Yeah, he's programmed to not kill. Like,
right, he didn't really. Maybe that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not programmed to kill, but I'm not programmed to not kill.
Right.
He's definitely. Unless he's stunning all those people.
A couple episodes ago in the Vengeance Factor, he was shooting phasers at
people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's capable of doing it.
He's just not.
It's just he's not a weapon.
For lack of a better term, his prime directive.
Well,
right.
He's also not really programmed to be coy, so that seems like an odd thing he'd say.
Yeah, that's true.
So Picard and Troy come in, and they're like, look, we got to send you back to that prison. Honestly, we just don't want to deal with this. It sucks. This is a bad situation, but.
Not our job.
It's also not. What we're, I think they're probably legally restrained from getting involved.
They should be if they're not.
Yeah,
really should be.
Yeah,
because again, they're a war vessel just pulling into port, so they probably shouldn't be making these decisions.
Yeah, and then at this point, Daynar is saying, "This is a man that has killed three people to escape. Remember, I will do whatever I have to do to escape." And Picard just like, "Fair enough."
Like, oh, well, he said it out loud, so that makes it official.
Well, you know what he says is he's like, well, Worf, make sure you pay extra attention.
Oh, yeah, that always works.
Because of how successful you and your team have been to date, which is not successful at all.
Also, why was he just unconscious when they teleported him? The first thing that Prime Minister said was keep him sedated. The whole time.
Yeah.
Why didn't they knock him out when they transferred?
Yeah, where is Beverly Crusher, by the way?
She was only there for
one scene
and then left. She never investigated him. She never did any diagnostics. They had this weird little talk about, well, maybe we can reverse it. And then they did nothing to try and reverse it. Nothing at all with their assumedly superior technology.
Hmm.
Right?
It's pretty.
Well, they couldn't.
Why?
Their hands are tied.
No, they weren't. They did everything but.
I think in this case, their hands were tied. Guys, I'm working with a really
well.
Good
yeah, so that's
here.
Their only out is if this planet joins the Federation. They're like, well, you know, then we could make them free you because we don't have prisons like that in the Federation. And he's like, well, I'm not going to live to see that because I would rather die than go back.
Yes.
So
why was it so bad? That was the other part. Like, are they this whole idea where this urge towards freedom will drive you towards any suicidal tendency doesn't exist in real people. Like,
no,
that whole premise was bullshit.
But I do think that's kind of the point of this soldier, right? Is they made him want to succeed at all costs. And that's why he could win missions and take
but
over things.
That shouldn't spill into having to be free all the time because he's in a military. So an individual who needs to constantly have their freedom, and that's the most prime and important thing, and they'll kill
in
order
to avoid
it, is a terrible person to put into a military. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
None. If anything, it should be the opposite.
Yeah.
He should be comfortable in this situation. It should be welcoming. If he was being programmed and tasked, he should like being in a small bunk in a small room. That's how you should program these people.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So what you're saying is he should be in the exact opposite of the military, which is as a crew member on the Enterprise.
Right, right, which is basically one big prison. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, completely agree.
Not a military.
No, though. Not a military, because they put children on it. That's really their only explanation.
That's,
like,
God,
it's not a military because there's children on this vessel.
Right.
Who thought that was a good idea? How are these kids going to explain how they grew up? Like,
they won't, because they're all going to die.
It makes them better members of the Federation. They talked about this in a different episode.
They do, and it was super dumb then.
Bullshit.
So what we think is going to happen when they're trying to transport this prisoner does happen. He escapes, but he escapes by using the teleporter energy he absorbs it somehow.
They don't explain this.
They don't really explain what happens. He turns into energy in some way.
He Tai Chi's it away.
Can you imagine trying to explain to the poor actor, okay, you're on a green screen, just shove your hands out and pretend like you're escaping energy.
I don't think you can escape a transporter.
You
That's
can.
The only time I've ever
seen
that
It puts you
happen.
Into a different state of matter. That made no damn sense.
Well, it kills your current body, transports your memory and souls, and puts it into a new body form from new matter that's around you.
If we're really talking about the technology, it destroys every atom of the individual, then rebuilds them as a different person.
Exactly.
So, it's not really
so you basically die every time.
Yeah.
So how do you fight that?
You can't. Well, also, it wouldn't work. But
what move is he doing?
I don't know.
Who knows?
It totally disrupts
idea
of the technology.
I like your idea, though. He's doing space Tai Chi.
Yeah. He turns into Ghost Rider, basically. And he's, moving around the ship. But what they do notice is a phaser is missing.
Right.
So he has escaped, and he's got a gun.
How do they know?
They're
everywhere.
Right.
And a bright flash of light goes by, so all of security, our very talented Enterprise security, are blinded while he leaves the room.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody
right.
sees him leave.
So they're trying to shut off the deck. Picard tries to get Data's like, all right, we're going to do this thing with the turbo lifts to try to trap him. But then when the turbo lift that they think he's on shows up in front of Worf and this other just like some guy on security, he's like, it's overloaded, which apparently means it's a grenade now.
Right. Yeah, never
also,
seen that before.
I like how they have that's been done since the original.
Yeah, Rom, you were saying
Trek.
That. Yeah.
That's
they did do
been,
that.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
They've always had these phasers that can overload. They always have a big auditory cue.
That's a terrible
that
idea.
They're overloading, right? Which is a bad idea. But also, you would have programmed these not to be able to do that at some point. At some point, they would have gone, oh, this is a problem. And they would have fixed it.
Well, unless it's supposed to do that.
Why?
Because sometimes you need a grenade.
No, but no. On a spaceship, and again, I was on a submarine, there's never a time when you need a grenade.
Right.
Ever.
You're going to blow up the bulkhead, and then you have space in your ship. That's
it's
bad.
It's never a good idea. It's
well,
never
you could
a good
be
idea.
In an interior room.
No, that's not how pressure works. No, it has to go somewhere, Pat. Yeah, no, it's just a bad idea.
Yeah, it seems like a bad idea.
The whole point
but
of
I'm
why
just saying
they,
if it's existed since original series, it must be intentional.
The whole point where they have phasers, where they have energy weapons, and this goes back.
So it doesn't punch holes in
ships.
So it doesn't
punch holes in ships, exactly. It's exactly why they have it. So this doesn't make any sense at all.
But it doesn't matter because Worf bravely throws himself on the grenade and turns it off just in time.
By pressing one button.
Right. As he's doing that.
Very, very casually throws himself on the grenade.
Well, he's a warrior, man. as he's doing that, Danar overpowers a security officer because, of course, he does.
What? And I love this. He Kirk punches him.
Yeah.
He does the
double fist. Yeah.
Knocks him over. You know, if you put your hands together and you hit somebody in the face,
they're
knocked out cold.
Yeah. You'll have to even crack their
That's
skull
why
wide
you,
open.
When you see all modern fighting techniques, people are clasping their hands
constantly.
Together and hitting people.
Yeah.
Look, yeah. All I know is that the WWE wrestlers do it all the time, so therefore it
that's
must work.
Real. So he uses the guy's combat edge to break down the force field. He goes to engineering and just wrecks all of those nerds. Like,
we didn't even see it.
We didn't even see it. They're just
it
all
happened.
Laid out. Yeah. And he uses engineering to redirect power to all these places that he needs to go to basically shut down the blocks that they have on this guy.
Yep, he moves all the circuit breakers around and can change
all those
how the
chips.
Don't even start. Yeah, I know. Don't even start.
Can change how the power is routed.
Yeah, so
he's
able to go down that Jeffries tube, which is a huge hallway.
Yeah, which is not a Jeffries tube. It's super weird. It was like, where is he?
Puts another grenade in there. Like, because phasers just turn into grenades.
That he puts into a box. To go off 48 minutes later.
He goes into the cargo bay, which, Aram, as we were watching, you pointed out, is just like, it's a bunch of boxes stacked up like it's someone's attic.
So neat. Like, here's our cargo.
Yeah, it's not tied down or anything.
Nope.
It's just in the middle of the floor, and there's not much of it.
Well, and it's strange. We got into a whole conversation as watching the episode about the need of cargo bays within a world where matter and energy are interchangeable. Wouldn't you just teleport the cargo? I mean, I guess if you had to go like long distances, which you couldn't teleport, but then wouldn't they on a different planet have a replicator to make the thing? So why are you moving?
Yeah. Why isn't the cargo bay just filled with replicators?
Yeah, why are you bringing things anywhere?
Right, does that make any sense?
Yeah, it's super weird.
Yeah, I guess storage is an issue on they didn't really plan, so.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's why it's so organized. There's very little to store.
Right.
Right.
It's just like a couple
things. We find, he steals a pressure suit from here. So this must be where they keep like the supplies for the ship.
In a box in the middle of the room.
Right. And it's just in a plastic tub. They come down.
So how did they know? How the fuck did they know? Like, he stole one pressure suit. How did they know he stole one pressure
they
suit?
They found the box cut open because I guess he couldn't. He used a phaser to cut it open. They're like, well, he's probably outside.
Right. He didn't put the lid back on. He left the packaging open.
Right.
Maybe he's trying to misdirect us.
Which he does.
Yes.
And, you know, he's able to get the drop on Worf and another poor security guy.
Hold on. Worf gets the drop on him.
He does.
Okay, yeah.
This is a good scene. Yep. This is a good Worf scene where at least he appears to be somewhat competent.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's the only one that is.
Yeah.
He
and
didn't
then he,
tell
then
anyone
he loses
else was,
the fight. But.
Right. Well, in a way, because he didn't tell anyone else what he was doing. He didn't send anyone else up as a backup. He just decided to, like, I'm just going to hang out afterwards because I believe I felt like he didn't like tell anyone what he was doing.
Well,
so
he doesn't need anyone, man.
Right, because he's Worf.
He's so strong. Right. Except then he gets his ass kicked.
Well, because like Worf notices what's going on when he goes in. He's signals to the bridge, hey, I'm going to do this. And he's like waiting for the guy. But the dude's just like hiding and takes
him hiding
out.
In a bin.
Right.
And then
this
beats
is his
Worf's
hiding.
Ass.
He's basically hiding like this. Like if I was,
we can't
visual.
See this
right. visual cue.
But if I was just like crouched on the ground,
Aram is crouched on the ground.
Yeah. No one can see me.
It's the lamest way to over because like they set up this awesome trap, and then Worf realized what was going on, and he was going to be able to outsmart him, and they could have done something else with it. And it was like, no, he's just crouching real low.
Yeah.
Worf didn't see it,
yeah.
And he like throws some boxes on Worf, and Worf is out. Like,
yeah,
that's how powerful this dude is.
If you could pull a shelf down on someone, I don't care how strong they are. If you pull a shelf on them, they're done.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true.
Well, if it's a shelf full of cargo, yes.
No, but that's every episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just get to a shelf.
That's just how you end the
Quick,
shitty
where's
fight.
Where's the shelf?
Right,
yeah.
Get to a completely
I didn't want to choreograph the rest of this.
Yeah, just find the unsecured space shelf.
That's why they
got to
have
sense.
This tied down. Does the gravity never go out on this thing?
Never.
All the time the gravity goes out.
Constantly. No, never.
So every time it goes out, those shelves are just in the air
and
then crashing back down.
Aram, come on. Gravity has never gone out. Think about how expensive that would be to shoot.
Right, exactly. No, they don't show it to you.
It's like
there's
like a regular
one guy
Tuesday.
On wires and that's it. Or
you know what happens.
Something.
But so he throws the shelves on Worf. He goes to the cargo transporter thing.
Again.
He uses another phaser, I guess Worf's phaser, to power it because
how does this exist?
Well,
like how is there a way to hook up essentially phaser as a battery to power a transporter?
Why would you?
Who built that into the transporter?
Yeah. I don't know.
Just in case I need my phaser to make an emergency escape?
I honestly think that one of the reasons why Ronald D. Moore wrote Battlestar Galactica the way he did was why he wrote it where, like, a really connected ship is so dangerous, right, is because of Star Trek, where every little thing is connected. Everything is linked to
each
other.
It's all wireless.
So the second you get into one panel,
the whole ship's
toast. And that's why he wrote Battlestar the way he did, was because the second you get into the ship, the whole ship's toast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why everyone's got landlines in there.
Right.
Because, like, yeah, he uses the phaser as a battery. He transports out, and he goes onto the prison ship, and he's got another phaser, and he just commandeers the whole damn thing. He's out.
They did show him with dual phasers
right
before that, so
badass.
They did think about it.
Right, yeah. He made sure to have another one.
Yeah.
And
still,
he just...
Who puts a battery adapter next to a cargo bay transporter?
And there weren't any wires. He just, like, laid it
on
top.
He just lays it in there like it was a slot.
That's just a thing that you do when the transporter's out.
Right.
But when Worf comes by and sees it, he's just like, oh, I can't believe he did that.
Wow, way to go.
I can't believe he put the phaser in the phaser-shaped hole. That's insane.
That makes it this
no
cargo
one has
bay.
Ever, yeah.
And why would the coordinates of the cargo bay transporter take him into that ship?
I don't know.
I guess he knew it. I don't know.
Where would he have punched it in?
I mean, assumedly they were going to transport him there, so it may have been pre-programmed.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Right?
It was pre-programmed.
But why would that have been in the transporter
also
room?
Why would he instantly understand every single panel he walks up to?
Well, and the other part of that is that implies then you can only transport one thing at one time.
Right.
Right? So you imagine if there was, like, a crew doing work within the cargo bay moving things, they'd be accidentally sending it to where the away team is going out of the transporter bay.
That must happen all the time.
If that thesis is true, or that premise is true, that it's already programmed into the machine, then you'd be making mistakes every single goddamn day.
Absolutely. Captain, you just sent us 2,700 pounds of lasagna. I don't believe you meant to beam that down to this planet. Yeah,
now that's on Riker's sad planet. Yeah, sorry, or that's on Ryza. They don't know what to do with it.
Well, in this case, it like automatically caused a massive prison break because he took over the ship, goes back to Luna 5, starts like a prison riot, basically.
Oh, yeah.
They were serious about not having other ships because apparently
that's
all it took.
That was the one prison ship. And Narok, the Prime Minister, phones into Picard. He's like, hey, we got a situation here. Could y'all send a security team? Because, you know, you got that cool technology. Because, oh, man, we're about to get taken over. It's like,
we're a whole planet.
Yep.
And we can't stop a shuttlecraft.
Right. Attica is all it took to bring this civilization down.
But we did just fight an entire war.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened in that war?
They're not even giving guns. That goes back to the planet. They're not even giving guns to the soldiers. They're giving guns to just
the bankers.
Yeah. To the congressmen.
It's like they got rid of all their soldiers. They put them on a planet and they never had a soldier again.
Right.
Like,
that was it. That's pretty much what happened.
Or police force of any kind.
Right. Or any kind. Yeah.
So, yeah.
They did say we're a relatively peaceful planet.
Yeah, now.
Right. Also, like, no one steals. No one ever has wants. I mean, come on.
Picard comes down with, like, you know, Troy and Riker and stuff. They're like, oh, where's the security detail? He's like, well, we don't really do that very well, A, or B, much anymore. You know,
we don't do that well or now.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure out if y'all want to join the Federation. Like, I don't,
Our job is not
our job is, yeah, we're not the military.
This is, now, to give them credit, years later, this is exactly how it played out with, you know, Turkey joining the EU. This is exactly how it went, every aspect of it.
And they're like, oh, well, we're about to be overrun by these prisoners. Like, oh, wow, that sucks. You probably shouldn't have put these people on, you know, a prison colony.
I think it's the first time they're being sane.
The
Federation is
100%
playing,
correct.
It's finally playing the role it should be playing in this. Yeah. I don't know why it took a whole episode to get there.
Because Deanna. Because Deanna. If Deanna had walked in the damn hallway, this would have been an easy prison transfer and everything would have been done. But for some reason, Deanna has a feeling, so I got to shut down the whole fucking ship. I told you this was going to be a bad episode because of her. I knew it.
Well,
but
it's not her fault.
They should have picked up immediately that this was a terrible civilization.
Yes.
Because this whole conversation that Picard has with Narok is like, well, we had to put him there. Why? Because we had a war, and then they fought it, and they knew how to fight too good. Okay, well, that's a shitty thing to do to somebody.
And these people volunteered.
Right, and they volunteered to do it.
Multiple times they were like, well, you know, we have kind of research that's possible to maybe reverse it, but we never tried.
Yeah.
We never tried.
We're lazy. Oh my God. It costs a lot. It's like, yeah, well, don't go to war then.
The people spoke.
That guy, like, it's his only
that's
line.
That's his only line.
And three times, like, well, that's what the people voted for. Like, who the fuck are you? Are you going to be kidding? We vote for lots of things and do lots of things that we don't vote for.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
just face it. There's a the government probably does 95% of things that we don't vote for.
Well, because you vote for them to represent you.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. But they make decisions all the time. It's not like we got line item veto on how you treat soldiers.
No.
It's a ridiculous concept.
They did say that they had a referendum on it, but it's just like, okay, but you didn't do any of the things that would have maybe fixed the problem.
That was a long referendum if it covered all of those topics.
Right, yeah. It was a yes or no. It's like, well, we didn't do anything. Now we have this problem that we don't want to deal with. Yes, no, should we move the problem to a moon?
Right. Yeah. Of which there are no doctors, no scientists, no one investigating the problem. Just live there until you die.
Well, now it's too late. Right. Because all of the prisoners have guns, and they showed up, basically. Like,
hell yeah.
It's too late. And you know what? I'm on the prisoner's side. I'm on Daenor's side. They're right. They should have been moved to that planet.
No,
and Picard,
and all they know how to do is fight.
But they're also murdering people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're 100% murdering
people. Also, apparently, this community had no resistance to rappelling. Once they rappelled from the ceiling, it was
over.
They
came down from ropes, and that was it.
They ran in every hallway, and then one dude came down the ceiling. You're like, what is this one dude doing, and why did he have to come through the roof? Why couldn't he use the doors like the other 40?
No, he had to come in through the rappel.
One guy!
Because he's a soldier.
Was his job in the military? Like, he was like, I used to come down the cliffs of Navarre, and damn it if I'm not going to use my rappelling.
Yeah, so Daenor comes in, he gives his first blood speech. Nothing is over! And then, like, they, you know, they hold up the whole thing.
Oh,
and
but they can't kill unless they're shot at.
Right.
Which is a shit thing to do to a military.
Oh, yeah, but, that's dumb as hell. Yeah.
Well, they won't kill cowards.
Yeah. Because that's what Picard says, is that they're not going to kill him. And Picard's like, oh, why won't you kill him? And they basically have the Predator problem, where they can't, you know, they can't kill someone without a weapon. You know, well, I'm not going to kill a coward because they weren't programmed to do that.
And how do you determine that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's not really thought out.
Right. So the oppression of an entire government isn't good enough. But if you point a gun at me and I see the business end is ready to go off, then I can shoot you.
So,
And then now Picard goes from being right to being kind of twisted.
Yeah, it's messed up. They don't settle the situation at all.
They just leave.
They
just in the middle
peace
of this.
Out.
Also, there's this weird aside where they get up like, well, if they all survive.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. They leave because Nayrok is like, oh, well, your cool technology can help us. Like, you're not part of the Federation. See ya. And they just leave.
Just leave.
Good luck with reapplying next time.
Right.
Yeah. That's what he says. Yeah.
And they're on the ship, and Picard is like, well, if they all survive, I think they will learn a valuable lesson. It's like, well, they definitely did not all survive.
No,
all right,
they
you could have just
other.
Left all these people for dead, Picard.
Yeah.
There's no way they talked their way out of that. They all slaughtered each other.
Yeah.
And it's that's our nice little lesson about reacclimating veterans to civilian life.
Well, don't do it. That's what we learned.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. They'll overthrow the government.
Right, exactly. Don't give them a place to live. In fact, all these benefits we actually provide our citizens should all be taken away. It's the only way they can actually live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put
absolutely. Them in prison. That's
right.
What they
move
fought
everyone
for, right?
to the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
remove the social safety net and get rid of all ships so no one could ever come back.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
That sounds right. That's
make sure you put the force fields up.
Yes.
Right. The ones that work.
Yeah.
Which are very few. Well, Aram. This is the part of Pat Trek where we like to rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, must watch Star Trek, we set to kill. If we thought it was pretty good, if it comes up in the queue, give it a watch, we set to stun. And if we thought it was a horrible episode, avoid at all costs, we leave it in the holster. So, Aram, tell us, what
you
think?
Here's the problem with this episode. It's not good, but it's not terrible. So it falls into this awful realm of mediocre. Right,
which
is
almost worse.
It is worse because, like, we'll watch this and we'll bash it now, but you and I will forget this episode tomorrow.
Yes,
and it will never come up in our minds again. So I've got to give it a 5, which is just
on a 3-point scale.
Oh,
that
on
does
a 3-point scale.
Compute.
I'm sorry.
Set to kill.
Points, you get 1, 2, or 3.
Set to kill.
Got to
set to stun.
Got to make a decision
or leave it in the holster. That's all you got.
I guess I don't understand the system. I guess we'll leave it.
Set
the
to kill is
set
great.
Set to stun.
Right?
Yeah.
Set to stun is like whatever.
Right.
Leaving the holster is like I hated it.
It's not good enough to be hated. So I guess leave it in the holster.
You're leaving the holster.
That's hated.
I mean,
that's hated.
Yeah, set
that's
the avoid. Stun is the good. Is the
set the stun. Oh, yeah. You're just saying. Then yeah, no, because you know what? It set me to stun. That's how I felt the whole time. So I will say set the stun.
Why?
Because there was nothing there. Again, there's everything they talked about where it could have been a good show because we're talking about soldiers and we're talking about the emotional damage. That was all just like left to the side for some hackneyed like, oh, we did some techno babble. Now he's in a too large Jeffries tube. Like all the parts where it could have been a good show were meek and just kind of left, on their own. So I think stunned. It felt like the whole episode felt stunned. The writing felt stunned. I feel stunned.
Yeah.
But nothing in really in a good way. Just like, nah.
Yeah, very blah.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Patrick, what did you think?
Leaving the holster.
Oh! Yeah. Bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. Well, it's not like the worst that I saw, but, with Star Trek, when they bring out a heavy issue, by this point, I expect them to deal with it competently. Not necessarily well. Some of them do, but it just wasn't competently dealt with. And then we had a bunch of, 5-minute, terribly choreographed fight scenes. It just wasn't that fun to watch. It was pretty fun to make fun of, so I'm going to say leave in the holster. You don't have to see this one.
No. I think I agree. I think it's a leave in the holster episode for me, too. Simply because it is so blah and so forgettable. And none of this matters later. There's nothing was introduced here that I was like, oh, but just wait. When they bring this back, it's so cool. Like, there's none of that in this episode. Also, I don't know what it is, but I did find some of the way, how heavy-handed they were with the veteran affairs stuff, I found borderline off-putting.
Yep.
I just
insulting.
Was like, yeah, it was kind of insulting, and especially insulting to, someone with, who's got a family member with PTSD and stuff,
way those writers were involved in any
of that. And you're
they
like,
have a
you
family
don't...
member. They never been in a war. No way in hell.
Yeah. It's like, you don't really get what that's like. It's a lot different than the difference is, and I don't want to get too heavy, but it's not like people are always fighting. It's like a weird thing sets them off. Oh, and you don't understand why suddenly there's a problem because you've triggered something within them. And I'm trying to keep this as general as I can.
But they're not different people.
No, they're
the
same person.
That's the problem, because
they're just
shows
super stressed out all of a sudden and are like, it's fight or flight.
Tell me
in.
They don't turn into beings of pure energy and then ransack their way through a ship.
No, right. Fight or flight has kicked in a moment where it didn't need to kick in, and it's just, everybody needs to deal with it. That's what it's like.
But they're people, not completely different beings,
yes,
which is what
exactly.
This show introduced, and that was hackneyed.
Yeah, it's like dirty or something.
Right.
I don't
and
know. I didn't
as
like
you
it.
Said, there it's Khan light. And if we're gonna do Khan,
yeah.
Do Khan well. You
yeah.
know, yeah.
Which in Khan, what is so great about him is he's a supervillain, but his needs and wants are so clear.
So
and,
human.
And his ability to do them is so perfect, it makes him scary.
Yes.
Whereas this guy is just like, I need to be free.
Yeah.
Wow. And you're
right.
like, what the hell?
Right,
is happening?
For no real reason, just I need to be free.
Yeah.
I want to be free.
I got to be free.
That was basically his theme song.
Yeah, exactly. He's a big Queen fan. Well, I think that's it. Aram, is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here? Plugs, anything?
I mean, you can catch me on God's Fall and on the amazing show, The Dungeon Rats, that Pat creates. And otherwise than that, no, I'm not really doing anything.
Cool.
Keep listening to Pat Trek. Please leave us reviews on iTunes. We will read them out. And it helps other people find us.
Yeah. It's a big help in a world that's full of Star Trek podcasts. The more reviews we can get makes us show up higher in the search results, and then more people can find us.
Yeah.
Please listen to The Dungeon Rats. It's an interactive dungeon crawl that I do with my friends, Aram being one of them, where the listeners send in all of the plot twists, magic items, and anything else that they can think of, and we have to deal with them. It's been a blast making, and so please listen to that. Follow me on Twitter at PatLikesATweet, because Facebook is for noobs.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches. Hot